Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon by Pastor Tracy Harold.
Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. One of the statements that was in that video, which is an outstanding, just an outstanding in my estimation, it's very captivating because it says a lot just in the 8 minutes or so that it takes to watch that. Our greatest challenge is to believe the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel just simply means the good news. But specifically, the gospel is the good news about Jesus Christ. And that he died, he was buried, but he rose again. The Apostle Paul, during his time on this earth, faced many in his culture that didn't believe the gospel. And specifically, they didn't believe the part of the gospel that declares that Jesus Christ rose again from the grave. And what I want to do for the next few minutes is talk about, if there be no resurrection, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ a big deal? Sure it is. And we're going to show you, hopefully, from Scripture, why it is a big deal. May I also say that Jesus Christ did not come to this earth to start religion. Can I get a witness in the building? He didn't come to start religion. You say, preacher, why wouldn't Jesus come to start religion? Let me tell you why. Because religion doesn't get people to heaven. You didn't hear me. Religion doesn't get people to heaven. But Jesus Christ and his gospel does get people to heaven. So when you see here in this passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in honor and reverence to the reading of God's word, will you please stand? We'll start our reading in verse number 12. And the Apostle Paul is going to address those who challenge the gospel. He's going to address those who choose not to believe it. Now, before we get maybe reach an assumption in our mind that says, well, that was the first century, and surely there were those in the first century that didn't believe it. Well, let me make a statement, and I hope this rings in your heart today. Do you realize that here we are in 2014, and there are still people who refuse to believe the gospel of Christ? Let me narrow it in. Let me bring it in perhaps a little closer. There may be some standing in this room right now that have never truly believed it. You have a head knowledge about it. You can maybe tell us the facts. You can maybe tell us a story. Maybe you were taught it in Sunday school. But ladies and gentlemen, this message, hear me please, this message is a saving message. It's not a message to just give us a head knowledge. It is a message that we've watched on that video. It is a message that radically changes people's lives when they believe it. Verse number 12 of our text tells us the Apostle Paul is writing to a local church, the church at Corinth, and he's writing and he makes some statements here. He says, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? You know what's also alarming to me? He was writing this to a church. He was writing this to people that were part of that church. And what's alarming to me is there was people in the church at Corinth that struggled to believe the resurrection. Could that mean that there may be a lot of church people even here today that do not know Christ as their Savior? They have religion, but they don't have a saving relationship with Christ. Hopefully, prayerfully, before this day ends, before this service ends, you'll be able to trust Him as your Savior, and I hope you will. He says, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, now Paul's going to speak into this. He's first of all establishing there are some that don't believe it. And there are some even among the church
that he says in verse in the church of Corinth. There are some even among the church family that doesn't believe it. But understand, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Father, we love you. Pray your blessing on the reading of your word. May your Holy Spirit, God, have free reign in our midst. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. And amen. Thank you. May be seated. If there is no resurrection, you said, Pastor, why is it important that we understand the power that really speaks to the resurrection? There's power. Listen, friend. There's power in the message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I said early on, even during the offering time, and I was getting ready. We were getting ready to take the offering. That to understand that Christ is alive. You see, because here's we have to understand this. If Jesus, and he was beaten, he was nailed to a cross, he hung suspended between heaven and earth, he hung there between two thieves, his body, the Bible says in Isaiah, that his visage was so marred, literally meaning his countenance was so disfigured, you could barely recognize him as a human being. That's the agony, the physical pain, and the physical agony that Jesus Christ suffered and went through just to be put on that cross. But there he was. He's placed on that cross. He was nailed to it. And during that time, he suffered an agony. We understand the physical aspect. We know that death by crucifixion was an agonizing, horrific way to die. It was so horrific that they say that not just anybody would be given the sentence of death by crucifixion. It was held onto for the worst of criminals. But when you read the Bible and when you study the scripture, and if your mind recalls what we've just witnessed by video, all that was ever said about Jesus was he went about doing good. He was a good man. He was a good man because he was the God-man. He was 100% man, but he was also 100% God. You say, preacher, why is that important? He was 100% man, and therefore, it illustrates in Hebrews, he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. As a human being, I don't know if you know this, but as a human being, there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of even physical pain that we have in this world. To all my 40 years and older, can I get a witness in the building? Somebody said, yeah, when you turn 40, it's all downhill. When I turned 36, it started. And it wasn't a gradual slide. I woke up one day and I was at the bottom of the mountain. Amen. But the point is, there's a lot of, our bodies aren't getting better, they're getting worse. And I know that's really goes against the teaching of evolution, but the point being, our bodies, they don't get better. Ladies, I hate to tell you this, I love you, and I hate to inform you of this, all this anti-wrinkle, let me back this up, all this anti-aging stuff, is a lie from hell. I'm telling you, it's a lie from hell. You say, yeah, but it makes me look 10 years younger. No, it just, it mentally makes you think that. Now, to those that say, are you preaching that a woman shouldn't wear makeup? No, I'm not saying that. Some of us need it, amen? None of you in this room, none of you in this room, but my deacons tell me anyway. You said you just threw the deacons under the bus. Yes, I did. Amen. I just threw them right underneath there. But our bodies are dying. So let me ask you a question. What happens at death? Do you know? If you have Christ, you do. If you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll see the Lord. But sweet friend, I hope you do, and I pray you do. You know what's awesome about today? What's awesome about today is today could be the start, a new start for you. Where we turn from religion to a relationship with God through Christ. Having are you ready for this? Having our sins forgiven. You realize the Bible declares, not the preacher, but the Word of God absolutely declares, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible declares the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But here's what we love about that message. That message, the gift of salvation comes through repentance and faith and belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel, to sum up, is just simply the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. When a person turns from their sin, turns to Christ, and Christ alone to save them, he saves them and he changes their lives. You say, preacher, that's too simple. No, that's what the devil wants you to believe. The devil wants you to believe that salvation is something to be worked for. That salvation is something to be earned. That salvation is something that only those that are good enough get. No, friend, the good news about salvation is the message of salvation is for anybody, ladies and gentlemen. It's for anyone. You can go to heaven when you die only if you have Christ as your Savior. But let me dig into these few verses just for a couple minutes. And I understand the Easter Bunny has stopped by 11 Mile Road out here. There's been an egg explosion. Apparently there was an Easter egg plant near us and it exploded. And there's thousands of Easter eggs out there on that property. But it comes with a disclaimer though. The disclaimer is this. If your child gets a Reese's cup in one of those containers, would you please, please get it to my secretary who will make sure she gets it to me and we can take care of it. Amen? So it comes with a disclaimer. Now, if it comes with cash, please make sure you get that to my secretary. But and if it comes with a thing to go to the Willy Wonka chocolate factory, please make sure I get that. But anyway, let's dig into this. Well, what happens if there is no resurrection? If Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, there's several problems with this. Problem number one, our preaching is useless. Really, honestly, our preaching is useless. The Bible uses a word, it uses the word vain. Look at the text here. In verse 14, he says, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain. In the margin of the King James Bible, it uses the word futile. Now, that word, you know what that word futile means? It means, listen to this definition. I looked this up this morning. I'm so proud of myself. It means incapable. Incapable of producing any result. Did you hear that? Incapable of producing any result. Let me say it like this. If Jesus Christ, because this is what a non-resurrected Savior means. If Jesus Christ didn't come out of the grave, he can save nobody. No one. You say, yeah, but Pastor, I really don't sense the urgency. Well, here's the urgency. And again, our preaching in vain. If Jesus didn't come out of the grave, I've wasted my time. And I don't like to waste time, do you? No. If I'm sitting in front of my TV, I want my remote. Amen? Because when them stupid commercials come on, I'm going to another channel. I'm not wasting time. My wife says, you're still wasting time in front of that thing. No, I call it educational. Amen? I want to learn how to be a better golfer. I want to learn how to be a better professional football athlete. I want to learn how to be that. Amen? Some of my sorry church members would say, I want to learn how to be a better gymnast. But we'll leave that alone. That's another sermon. You'll have to come back tonight to hear the rest of that. But I do have some mean church members, so pray for me. Our preaching is useless. It's literally incapable of producing any result. So what I've already stated to you, that Jesus, if you repent of your sin, if you turn from your, the word repent is like a military word, about face. It means to turn from, you know, have a change of mind, have a change of heart about the direction that you're headed, and you call upon God to forgive you of your sins, and by faith, you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, and Jesus, let me add this, stay with me, stay engaged with me, And you put your faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone to be your Savior.
It's not Jesus plus good works. It's not Jesus plus baptism. It's not Jesus plus church membership. It's Jesus and Jesus alone that we find forgiveness of our sins and we find salvation in Him. I've often said that if salvation could come any other way but through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, God the Father did a great injustice to the Son by sending Jesus to this sin-cursed world if salvation could come any other way. But ladies and gentlemen, we know in the authority of the Bible that salvation cannot come any other way. It can only come through the death of the sacrifice of Christ the Lord. That's why John the Baptist, when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to his baptism, John the Baptist looked and all those Jews were on the banks of the river, and they would have understood when John made this statement. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He said that of Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God. So he's captured their attention. He's got a captive audience. He wants them to hear something. And he says to all those around, "Behold the Lamb of God." Every Jew in that crowd would have understood that statement. Every Jew in that crowd, in their mind's eye, they would have went back to the Passover in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, where the children of Israel were set free by the sacrifice of another, that lamb, that blood that was shed, and that death angel when it passed over. It didn't affect those that were in that house. It didn't affect those in the house as long as the blood was applied. Now, what's our point? And I took you on a history lesson there for a minute, but what's the point of it all? The point of it all is, if Jesus didn't come out of the grave, our preaching is useless. We might as well just go home. Well, get some Easter eggs first. But I'm thankful, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's okay. I'm thankful on the authority of God's Bible, our preaching isn't useless. What does it mean for preaching to be useless? It means the preachers are no more than fake. They're phonies. It means also that the followers are foolish. You'd be foolish to follow someone if they're preaching a message that is a lie. But you know what's awesome about Christ? What's awesome about Jesus? He's a life-saving, life-changing God. You didn't hear me. He's a life-changing God. He changes people's lives. I've seen it. I personally know of stories. I've witnessed people's lives being changed by the power of the gospel of Christ. Our first church we pastored, there was a lady there who honestly was in such bad addiction to drugs, she would do things immoral to get those drugs. But you know what Jesus did? He saved her. He changed her life, and he took her off the street, ladies and gentlemen. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can do that. So the point is, our preaching isn't futile. Our preaching, the preaching of the cross, is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God, Paul said in another passage. You see, if Jesus is dead, that's because if there is no resurrection, he's still dead. And if Jesus is dead, so is Christianity. But I want you to think about something for a moment. Jesus lived during the first century. Here we are in the year 2014, some 2,000 years later, and we're still talking about him. We're still talking about him. We're still declaring his message. Our preaching is useless. If there is no resurrection, our preaching is useless. Our witness is meaningless. We're no more than proclaiming a false advertisement. Don't you hate when you buy something only to get it home and you're like, "Wait a minute. It didn't do what it said it would do." I'm not going to ask you. I'm not going to do it because I'll get you in trouble. But how many of you have bought things with expectancy and only to get it home, your expectancy
and its ability didn't go together. You expected it to do the greatest thing in the world. Thank you, Tracy. I appreciate your honesty. But your expectancy, what was really, you were let down with your expectancy because it didn't do what all the advertisements said it would do. Do I need to go back to the anti-wrinkle cream? Amen? That's why I forget what commercial it was, but there was a commercial that came out a few years back, and I loved it. It was talking about honesty, and one of them was, it was illustrating Abe Lincoln, how Abe Lincoln was honest Abe, and it showed an imaginary story of Abe Lincoln's wife coming in with a dress on, and she looked at Abe Lincoln, and she says, "Honey, does this dress make me look fat?" And Abe Lincoln made this statement, "You betcha." Now, fellas, I do not suggest you do that. I'm going to allow you, I'm going to teach you the value of distraction. When they come in and say something like that, "Honey, does this dress make me look fat?" Say, "You wouldn't believe the Tiger game today. Scherzer pitched a no-hitter for 27. Just give distraction. I'm telling you, it works. Or if they come in, and ladies, let me ask you this question. Why do you do that to us? Seriously, why do you put us through that much anxiety? The guys are like, you ought to see the guys in the audience. They're not even moving. Their eyes are fixated, man. I can't do it. I better not do it. I got to go home in a minute. True story. Brother Tommy, here's a true story. When me and my friend Ronnie were traveling in evangelism, this goes back 20 years ago. We were traveling in evangelism. We'd been doing this for about a year, 13 months, year and a half, somewhere in there. And we stayed at a pastor's home in Georgia. I think the town was Ludowice, Georgia, a little bitty town. I'm almost sure of that, just south of Savannah or just outside of Savannah. And the pastor's wife, who we were staying with her and her husband, the pastor's wife, we were staying there. We'd been staying there for a few days. Well, my friend Ronnie, how can I say it? He was dumb as a box of rocks. That's pretty dumb. The only dumber you can be is dumb as a bag of hammers. But anyway, so we're sitting at the dinner table, and the pastor's wife, she finally says, "Well, is anybody going to say anything?" I'm like, okay. I'm not even married, and I know there's something to this, right? And so finally the husband realized she had gotten her hair done that day. And the husband says, "Oh, babe, your hair looks really nice." I said, "Oh, yes, ma'am. So it looks really nice." And, you know, my friend Ronnie, who might I add, is still single, all right? He's still single. My friend Ronnie says, "Oh, yes, ma'am." He says, "Your hair looks real nice." Stay with me. He said, "You could do without the lipstick, but your hair looks real nice." I went, "Oh, dear God." And I just keep eating. Because I knew somebody was fixing to get beat. Amen? And what I know is my friend Ronnie now has caused problems for that pastor and his wife in their marriage. I mean, what's the point? Fellas, I don't care if you think it. Don't say it, man. You say, "I'm just honest." You're foolish. I'm telling you, you're foolish. And I know as soon as I get home, my wife's going to say, "Well, you think my hair looks nice? It looks wonderful, babe." My wife's looking nice. I think my wife looks beautiful. Oh, my word. How did I get myself in this? Our witness is meaningless. We're no more than proclaiming a false advertisement. As you read down through these verses, verse 15, Paul says, "Yea, and we are found false witnesses." Wow. You know, that's pretty, if you were on the witness stand and they declared you as a false witness, that's punishable by law. That's against the law. And Paul's saying,
If there is no resurrection, and therefore we're preaching a false God, we're preaching this, you know, this useless message, we're witnessing, our witness is meaningless. If there is no resurrection, then what we're doing is criminal. What we're doing is advertising something that isn't true. What we're doing is not only criminal, what we're doing is pointless. He says in verse 15, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, look at this, your faith is vain. And then he says this, ye, look at verse 17, ye are yet in your sins. Paul said, you have to understand, without a resurrected Savior, we would still be lost and on our way to a devil's hell because we would still be in our sins. You do understand that the Bible declares, and the message of the gospel is this, that Jesus Christ saves us from our sins. We're no longer indebted to our sin. We're no longer the servant of sin. Why? Because God, through the message of the gospel, has set us free, like Barabbas experienced. Give us Barabbas, that he was solely set free, not in his own merit, not in his own goodness. He was set free because somebody else died in his place. And ladies and gentlemen, the law requires death. You understand that, right? The law of God requires death. The law of God declares the soul that sinneth shall die. That's what God's law declares. We know physical death, yes. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to understand that God's Bible is true. All you have to do is drive around and find a graveyard somewhere. When you drive by a cemetery, you ought to honestly say, God means what he says. The soul that's in us shall die. Men and women, we die. Why? Because it's a result of sin. He not only talks about our witness, he not only talks about our message, he also now talks about our life. Look at verse 32. I'm almost done. Look at verse 32. First Corinthians 15:32, Paul says, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth to it me? What advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Look what he says now. If the dead rise not, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. What is Paul saying? If there is no resurrection, we've established that if there isn't the resurrection of Christ, we're liars, we're false advertisers, and oh, we might as well have a party, eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow we die. Death is it. I mean, when we draw our last breath, it's over. But on the authority of the Bible, there is a resurrection. Jesus did come out alive. And because he did come out alive, we have to understand that one day, every single one of us, let me back it up. You do understand that you were created by Christ, right? You do understand that. I hope you understand that. Not insulting your intelligence. I'm trying to encourage you today. You're not an accident of some evolutionary process. You're the tremendous crowning work of his creation, mankind was, and you are made in the image of God. Do you realize both male and female are made in the image of God? And because you're made in the image of God, one day there's going to be an account. There's a count. We're accountable. There's coming an accountability day where you're going to give an account to God. But the good news is, if you have Jesus and you believe the gospel, the good news is, and he saved you, when you stand before him, he won't be judging your sin. He'll be judging your service. Your service will be judged, not your sin. Your sin is judged on Christ 2,000 years ago. Our life is pointless. If there is no resurrection, if Christ didn't come out of the grave, there is no life has no purpose. Life has no meaning. Life has no direction. That's why, we might as well sin as much as we can.
if there is no resurrection of Christ, if there is no salvation message in Jesus Christ. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just declare to you on the authority of the Bible, we'll start in verse 1 of chapter 15, and let's talk about the power of this resurrection. Well, what's the big deal about the resurrection? Paul says in verse 1 of chapter 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach to you, unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Paul's now saying, he's really establishing a foundational truth of Christianity. He's giving us an understanding that if a person truly is born again, their life has been changed. If a person has never been born again and they're living like they have been, they believed in vain, they haven't really truly trusted Christ, they haven't really truly trusted the gospel, and they're going to have a hard time trying to live it. I had a relative of mine, one of my cousins, one time say to me, he said, "Tracy," he said, "I'll just be honest." He said, "Trying to live this Christianity thing," he said, "I'm just having a hard time with it." Well, let me just say something. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, it's impossible. It's not difficult. It's impossible to live the Christian life apart from salvation. The hardest thing to be in life is something that you're not. The hardest thing to be in life is something that you're not. He said, "I declare unto you the gospel." Look at verse 3. He's going to tell us what the gospel is. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." That's good news. That's good news. Christ died for our sins. You could put your name in that. Christ died for Tracy Harold's sins. And I say, to God be the glory. He died for me. My preacher used to say, if I was the only sinner on the planet, Christ died for me. And look what else he says in verse 4. "And that he was buried." They buried his body. He was, you know, there was a lot of false beliefs. Gnosticism was one of the beliefs that and believed that the body was evil and that Jesus Christ, you know, but that's irrelevant in this context. But the point being is Jesus, Paul was saying, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, he physically died. They buried his body. You don't bury somebody unless they're dead. You bury their body. And then he says, "And that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures," according to the Old Testament Scriptures. The Bible declared this would happen prophetically, Isaiah, some 800 to 1,000 years before Jesus ever came to this earth. Isaiah talked about the crucifixion. He talked about all of it. He prophesied of it. And he said that Jesus would do this. And Paul wants us to understand that the preaching of the cross, there is saving power in the cross. So I'm going to ask you a question. What are you hoping in to get you to heaven? Because, sweet friend, on the authority of the Bible, not the words of the preacher, but on the authority of God's Bible, Jesus Christ alone is the only one that can get you there. I promise you that. On the authority of the Bible. Why did John write it in John 3:16, a verse that we're taught as a child? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That very next verse says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world." Now, why wouldn't God send Jesus in the world to condemn the world? The answer, because the world was condemned already. The world was condemned already. Since the Garden of Eden, sin entered the picture with Adam and Eve, and mankind was sentenced to a devil's hell because of sin. But the good news is, Jesus Christ intervened. Jesus Christ bridges the gap. Jesus Christ brings us back to God through his death and resurrection. Have you ever trusted him? Have you ever placed your faith in Christ? Very simply. Have you ever repented? Have you ever called upon Jesus to be your Savior? If you've never done that, I urge you, I beg you to do that. Every head bowed, every eye closed, let me talk to you just for a minute. But Stephen, those instruments, playing the instruments, you can come ahead. If you're here today and say, "Pastor Harold,
I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. To be quite honest, I was raised in a religious home, but I've never trusted Jesus. But I have questions about it. Will you remember me in your prayer? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come to you after the service and embarrass you. But maybe there's somebody here today who said, Brother Tracy, I'm not saved. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask you, if you died today, are you 100% certain that you'd be in heaven? Friend, if the answer to that is no, or if the answer to that is I hope so, please just nail it down. You can know without a shadow of a doubt that if you died today, you'd be in heaven with Christ. And that comes through repentance and faith in Jesus alone. If you're here today, say, Brother Tracy, I'm not saved. Will you pray for me? Would you raise your hand? I'm not going to embarrass anybody. But if that's you honestly before your Lord, say, I don't know Christ as my Savior. I have questions about it. I really don't know. Would you raise your hand? Just acknowledge. Thank you for that, brother. You can put that down. Anyone else? Say, I'm not sure. Thank you. I'm not certain. Thank you. For those that have raised your hand, let me tell you what happened to me. I was 16 years old. I was sitting in a pew in a Baptist church. I'm 41 now. And right there was I was 16. This is what I did, and I encourage you to do the same. I bowed my heart and head to God, and I said, God, I know I'm a sinner. But God, I know what Jesus did, he did for me. He died for me. He was buried. He rose again. And God, will you please forgive me of my sins? And will you please save me? That's what I did. And I'm telling you, God saved me that day. And I encourage you to do that. Maybe you're here today, say, Preacher, I know Christ is my Savior, but I'm just not living like that. Well, my encouragement to you today is this. Rededicate your life back to Christ. One of these days, we're going to stand before our Lord, and I hope we stand before Him with an understanding that we've lived for Him, that we've honored Him.
We hope you've been blessed by Pastor Tracy Harold's message today. If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.